One unmistakable fact is that time moves along, and it moves along fast. I don't know about you, but I am constantly amazed at how quickly time flies by. And I've been told that the older you get, the faster time goes, which leads to another inescapable truth. We are all getting older. Former President Dwight Eisenhower was once asked, "How do you like growing old?" He replied, "I prefer it to the alternative." And I think most of us would agree with that. We'd rather stick around here on Earth than not. But aging presents some definite challenges to us. I was reminded of that when I heard this list. You know you're getting older when your dreams are reruns. The stewardess offers you coffee, tea, or milk of magnesia. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You sink your teeth into a nice juicy steak and they stay there. And my particular favorite, a pretty girl walks down the street and your pacemaker lifts a garage door. On the internet this past week, I even found a list of hymns particularly for the aging. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me get up. It is well with my soul, but my back hurts. Nobody knows the trouble I have seeing. Just a slower walk with thee. Go tell it on the mountain and speak up. Give me that old-timer's religion. Blessed insurance. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I've forgotten where I parked. Some of you remember songwriter Woody Guthrie. He put it like this. Since I have retired from life's competition, each day is filled with complete repetition. I get up each morning and dust off my wits, open the paper and read the obits. If my name is not there, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go has got up and went. Now, we can chuckle at those lines, but the effects of aging can be serious and not without pain. Physically, the aging body puts on the brakes. We begin to huff and puff when we used to rip and zip. Prefer to sit more than stand, to watch more than do, to forget your birthday rather than remember it. Mentally, the aging brain longs for relief. You can't remember like you used to. You don't respond like you ought to. You think more about yesterday and less about today or tomorrow. Emotionally, we undergo strange fears and feelings we once swore we would never occur, such as being negative or critical, downright ornery sometimes. Being reluctant to let those who are younger carry more responsibility. Feeling unwanted and in the way. Being preoccupied with what if rather frequently. Feeling guilty over previous mistakes and wrong decisions. Feeling forgotten, unloved, lonely, and passed by. Feeling threatened by sounds, speed, financial uncertainty, disease. Resisting the need to adjust and adapt. All this, and there's a whole lot more, is worsened by the memory of those days when we were once so efficient, so capable, so needed, and so fulfilled. As we look in the mirror, we're forced to admit that the fingers of age has begun to scratch their marks on this house of clay. And it's hard to believe that our twilight years could be of any worth. How terribly wrong that is. How destructive such thoughts can be. How quickly such thinking can sentence us to a prison of self-pity, surrounded by the four bleak walls of doubts, depression, uselessness, and grief. You ever notice that in God's Word, it is His patriarchs that have always been among His choicest possessions? Abraham was far more effective when he was older and more mellow. Moses wasn't used with any measure of success until he turned 80. Samuel was old when the God of Israel led him to establish the school of the prophets, an institution that had a lasting influence long after he was gone. And then there was Caleb. We read about in our scripture this morning, he was 85 years young when he began to enjoy God's best. But see, we live in a society where we worship youth and we tend to push the aged to the curb. One of the most pervasive and cynical lies of our time, that all the good stuff happens in the first half of life. After you reach 40 or 50 or 60, it all goes downhill. It's just not true. I like the question that was once asked by Satchel Paige. You might remember he was a black baseball pitcher who started playing before blacks were allowed in the major leagues, but when they finally broke that color barrier, he did play a few years. He was just thought to be timeless and ageless. And he asked this question, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Think about that. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? See, the answer to that question depends on more our attitude than our chronological age. Another quote attributed to Satchel Paige was this, age is a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. So much of our attitudes affect what happens in our lives in our later years. And certainly that's true with the subject of the last several weeks of our study, and that is Caleb. Last we saw Caleb, he was 40 years old in the prime of his life, ready to take on the giants. Let's go, let's get them. God's giving us this land, we can do this. But he was voted down. He was outnumbered. And even though he remained faithful, he was sentenced along with the rest of the nation of Israel to wander in the desert until that whole generation died except for he and Joshua. So we learn from the Bible that they were in the wilderness 38 years. And then they finally get to the point where they go into the land. We see the victories at Jericho and Ai, and time after time, God comes through, leads the people to victory. We get to Joshua chapter 14, this passage that we had read earlier. And much of the center of Canaan had been conquered. And that was pretty much the strategy. They started at Jericho, which was kind of in the middle. They went straight across, and it cut the Canaanites in half. And then they were able to defeat the northern tribes and the southern tribes. Now they get to a point where they're about to divide up the land. And Caleb comes to Joshua, and he reminds his old friend, hey, you remember the old days, don't you? Remember when you and I were younger? Remember when we first went through this land? We scouted it out. We came back with the report that it's a challenge, but God's going to do it. Remember on that day, Moses promised us that we would live to see this day? I think Caleb gives us a great example of courage in spite of aging. He gives an example that we can all learn from. And I think there's three areas of his life that helped get him to this point. First, Caleb remained affirmative through his years in the wilderness. He had always been a positive, goal-oriented person. All the way from the time when he had told the Israelites, "We can do this." He was very positive, and he never lost that. When everyone else was looking for an excuse, he saw the way. He saw that it could be done. Now, apparently Caleb had made some decisions back when he was 40 that affected his effectiveness when he was 85. And that's truly amazing because he had every reason in the world to give up. You know, at the age 40, most men give up on themselves. Yeah, we're pretty much done. Putting on the brakes. But think about it. Caleb missed an opportunity to go in and conquer the land that he saw. And it wasn't his fault. Not only that, he got passed over for promotion. When Moses died, Caleb got passed over. The leadership went to Joshua. For a lot of us guys, that would make us bitter. Had he been like most of us, we would have thought, "Oh, there's no more opportunities for me." It would have been easy to become discouraged, but he didn't. Caleb continued to stay positive. He stayed affirmative in his faith. You remember what the Bible's definition of faith is? It comes right out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'd like to read it out of the New Living Translation. "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." See those words, confidence, assurance? There's not a shadow of doubt in those terms. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Now that's positive thinking. I know there's been much made about the power of positive thinking, as though positive thinking in and of itself can make things happen. That's just simply not true. You can have all the positive thinking in the world that you want, that you can go up on the roof of this church and jump off and fly away. I can tell you that positively you will end up on the ground. I don't care how much positive thinking you have. It's not the positive thinking that gives you the power. It is the God in whom we keep our faith. That's where the power comes in. However, what Satan does, since he cannot diminish God's power, Satan can do nothing to diminish the power of God. So what he does is he discourages us. And he keeps us from tapping into God's power. If we give up, we won't see God work in our lives. It's not that God can't, it's that He won't. Just like those people in the wilderness. They said, "Oh, we can't do it." And God said, "Fine, you won't." Caleb said, "We can do this." And God said, "You will." And Caleb remained positive. But how often do we find older people who remain affirmative? I think sometimes negativity is just as sure a sign of aging as wrinkles and gray hair, or no hair at all. I often remember my great aunt Etta. She was my dad's aunt. We used to go and visit her every so often, and you go and say, "Well, hi Aunt Etta, how you doing?" She'd give you an organ recital. "My kidneys aren't doing so good, you know. Hurt here, hurt there." After she got done telling us what hurt and what didn't work, she always ended with this line, "I don't think I'll be around too much longer." I remember going for about 10 years, going to see Aunt Edna, and she always said the same thing. I remember pulling my mom off the side and I said, "How long has she been saying she's not going to be around much longer?" My mom said, "Ever since I've known her." It was about 50 years. She lived to be 98. "Not going to be around too much longer." That was just her. That was her attitude. On his 75th birthday, General Douglas MacArthur wrote, "In the heart, is a recording chamber, receiving messages of hope that keeps you young. If you get pessimistic, you grow old. I think there's a lot to be said about that. And too often the latter half of that statement comes true. We lose that positive thinking. We become pessimistic. And it turns us sour, bitter, and old. Not Caleb, though. He remained affirmative in his belief that God would fulfill his promises. And that kept him going through the long years of waiting. And I would suggest that it kept him young, too. Caleb also remained active through this time in his life. He told Joshua in verses 10 and 11, "Here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as I was back then." Remember Jack LaLanne? I think he did 100 push-ups on his 100th birthday or whatever it was. Kept himself fit, kept himself active. All those years in the wilderness did not mean that Caleb simply wasted away. He kept his body in shape. I remember living in Virginia, my very first ministry. You got to understand, in Virginia, Thomas Jefferson is like the patron saint. You know, so if you really want to make your point, quote Jefferson. And there was a big billboard in one of the parks there in town, and it was a quote attributed to Jefferson. "You don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing." You can say that about work. You can say that about ministry. You can say that about a lot of things. You don't stop because you get old. You get old because you stop. How many times have you seen this? Somebody has worked maybe in a factory 30, 35, 40 years. Then you hear that they're retiring. And then a few months later, you're reading about them in the obituaries. Why is that? I don't know for sure. I've never done a scientific study on it. I've just got a hunch. I think a lot of those folks that have worked so hard all their lives, they get to retirement, they sit back in the recliner, and don't do anything. The body can't handle it. We got to stay active. Now, I'm not saying that you can never retire. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy yourself after you've put in those years. Just stay active. Do something. Keep yourself active. Keep yourself going. It will help keep you young. When we stop living, what's going to happen? I believe we can have our greatest moments in life at an age when a lot of people think it's over the hill. Consider these people who did not let age get in the way of accomplishment. Ted Williams, the great baseball player, hit his last home run at the age of 42, long after people thought he would retire. Golda Meir was 71 when she became Prime Minister of Israel. Benjamin Franklin was a framer of the U.S. Constitution when he was 81. And George Bernard Shaw was 94 years old when one of his plays was first produced. Those are folks who did not allow age to get in the way. And you remember Ronald Reagan ran for re-election of president at the age of 73. Far and away older than anybody had ever been to hold that office. And I just saw a clip of this last week. One of the debates, the presidential debates he had with Walter Mondale, the moderator of the debate asked President Reagan if he thought his advanced age would inhibit him from serving another term as president. And Reagan had a classic response. He said, "I will not, for political purposes, take advantage of my opponent's youth and inexperience." Turned it all around on him. And now you've got Caleb. Even though he was 85 years old, he was involved in the greatest adventure he'd ever known. Israel was taking the land that God had promised all those years earlier, and he wanted to be a part of it. And I think that teaches us an important lesson. We never retire from the Lord's service. Caleb's age did not get in the way of his ministry. Rather than sit around and do nothing, Caleb figured he would work until he was called home by the Lord. I like how Chuck Swindoll puts it, while his peers were yawning, Caleb was yearning. He remained active. I think that kept him young. And then finally, Caleb remained ambitious throughout his life. Remember, as we're reading this passage in Joshua 14, he's 85 years old. And what is it that he asks for? Does he ask for a peaceful little place by a lake that wouldn't be too difficult? Does he say, just give me a nice mountain cabin in one of those fortified regions where I'll be safe? Just give me a nice little place to rest these tired bones? No, he doesn't say that. I don't know if anybody would criticize him if he had. You know, we expect people to be broken down and living in quiet despair at that age. But again, not Caleb. He didn't look for an easy task suited for an old man. He asked Joshua for the mountains. He said, give me this hill country. Give me this that is the hardest to attack militarily. The biggest challenge. And he reminds him, yeah, you remember the giants that we saw? Yeah, they're still there. Let me at them. That's what I want. And this wasn't some sort of dementia or senility setting in. His strength was in the Lord. He knew that the Lord would never fail him. He remained ambitious. Bruce Larson writes in his book, There's a Whole Lot More to Health Than Not Being Sick. I just love the title of that. He says, a life of safety is no life at all, whatever your vocation. Still, we are programmed from an early age to start providing for a safe and secure future. Through pension funds and retirement benefits, we work toward removing all risk from our lives by the time we're 65. Yet in the three societies sociologists have studied, where people normally live 100 years and some even up to 120, they have found there is no special treatment for the aged. Scientists who have studied these societies have found that they have nothing in common in terms of climate, diet, geography, or lifestyle, but in all three places, the inhabitants were expected to live normal lives with no cushion for safety. They continued to work, tend fields, and keep shops until they died at 100 plus years. Larson concludes, I'm convinced that God never invented old age. Death is from God, but old age is man's invention, and it is a cultural blight in our lifetime. Now, how rare it is to find people like Caleb. Some time ago, it was reported that an 85-year-old woman had died in her sleep. And her family had come when they hadn't heard from her for a while. They came and they found her in her bed. But on her table, before she had gone to sleep that night, she had sat down and written out her goals for the next 10 years. That's what we're talking about here. That's going out with your boots on. That's living life. Looking ahead, staying active, staying affirmative, staying ambitious. And I think God has a message for us today. He has a purpose for every year in our lives. I don't believe God just lets us stay on earth for no reason. I believe that when we have accomplished God's mission for our lives, He'll take us home. The fact we're still here means that God still wants to do something through us, whatever your age. Now, it may not be the same thing that you did 40 years ago. You may not be in exactly the same physical health that you were 45 years ago, like Caleb could say. But there is a place for you in God's family. There is a place for you in His work. And you say, oh, but I can only do a little bit. That little bit means a lot. And I would challenge everybody here today, find your place. Realize what God would have you to do and do it. And continue to do it. I'm going to be honest with you. since I have ministered at this church, I don't know that I've ever been personally associated or have known personally more people past the age of 85 and 90. And I always thought it must have been something in the water. Tasted the water. It ain't the water. Whew. I think some of the water around here might shorten your life before it lengthens it. I don't know. It's not the water. You know what I find it is? It's attitude. The people who stay healthiest more often than not are the ones who stay active. The ones who stay affirmative and positive. The ones who stay ambitious. The ones who say, Lord, You've given me this new day. I can't wait to see what You're going to do in it. They see every day not as something to be feared or something to be dreaded, but as a challenge to tackle, an adventure to be undertaken. One last point about Caleb. We see in the next chapter of Joshua how Caleb provides for the next generation. We see some of his faith rubbing off on his son-in-law, Othniel, who becomes one of the judges in the next book of the Bible. Caleb's faith also touched his daughter because she had the faith to go and ask her father for the springs of water to irrigate the land. That wasn't something daughters were supposed to do back then. That was supposed to be left to the men. She didn't have a problem with it. She too had that same attitude, that same active heart. Caleb's example of faith, I think, was more valuable than the property he claimed for them. And the older generation needs to provide for the next generation. I'm not talking about financially, I'm talking about spiritually. Senior saints should be examples of believers. Encourage the younger generation to trust in the Lord, like Caleb, to follow Him wholeheartedly. And a note to the younger generation, pay attention to those examples that are being set before you. They have much wisdom to share, but a lot of times we're too busy and preoccupied to stop and listen. And so when we come to the end, we close the book on the life of Caleb. Surely he stands as a profile in courage for all of us to emulate. He had courage in spite of his ancestry, even though he was from the wrong side of the tracks in the eyes of his peers. He had courage in spite of antagonism. He was greatly outnumbered by the pessimists, but he maintained his faith and his courage. He had courage in spite of affliction, maintaining his faith and his faithfulness through the suffering that was not his own, but he had to go through it anyway. And he had courage in spite of aging, pressing forward to reach new heights when many others would be reaching for an easy chair. Say, that's nice and all, it doesn't happen anymore. Maybe it doesn't happen anymore, but it doesn't mean that it can't happen anymore. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Caleb is alive and well today. He's looking for a few good men and women of all ages who will serve Him wholeheartedly. Will you answer that call today?